Yeah.
Call the session order, strike 30. I don't see Mr. Corey here, but we can talk about the club if you like. Anybody have any?
Well, I wish Jack was here because I would compliment him in this committee. But and Al.
I talked to Jack this morning and he indicated that he was going to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Let's maybe come back to this.
Yeah, we'll come back to this. We'll go to the generators. So, Mr. Yeager sent a couple of estimates on the generators, but what Kevin is working on is another company was interested in giving us an estimate on a generator. The one we have now is a Cummings generator, and the other generator is a Generac. So why don't you fill them in? They're in the process of giving us, taking a look at everything we need and giving us an estimate on it?
Yeah, I've left information for them. They're working on it.
Okay.
This year, they're writing something on
there.
They were going to schedule time to meet, so. But the Cummings is on, and I.
It's on Sourcewell.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago when we were discussing. I couldn't remember if it was or not, and it is. It's on Sourcewell contract.
So with Sourcewell, it's already gone through the bid process, and the other company, I believe they know that too, and I think they're able to get it off a state bid or county bid or Sourcewell, whatever they do.
Why would we even think of going with a Generac?
Well, the only thing is to get a couple of comparisons. That's all. I mean, they do commercial ones as well, so. When they called and said, hey, we heard that you were looking to get generators, we'd like to take a look at it. Well, what kind of generators? If they were Cummings, I would have said no, but this is a Generac. I'm not saying we go with either one. What I'm saying is let them do it. Compare and contrast. You got, as long as they're both on either a state bid or Sourcewell, they already gone through the bid process, so, but now you got two different types of generators that we can look at. And then what I was thinking is, we'll get them in here and then we'll take a look at, going through the CHA to figure out what part we want CHA to be involved with it. Because everybody wanted an engineer to look at it and things, so.
I guess my only thought would be if you give a couple vendors that are on Sourcewell a set of design drawings and specifications, you're comparing apples to apples. That's all I can say. So that's what these proposals that I gave you this evening are for, to do a set of design drawings and specifications so that you can take them to the Sourcewell vendors that are on approved bid projects, whether it be Sourcewell or state bid, and say, we want to put this system.
Yeah, kind of like putting out an RFP.
Well, yeah, but you're
giving them the specifications
on what you're looking for.
But what would be? But here's my thought.
So we're going to give a one-line diagram, specify the type of switch that should be installed.
I understand. I know where you're going with it. But here's the thing: if they come in with a couple of designs, and we give it to your electrical engineer. And say, these are the specifications that, because they have engineers too, that design, Cummings has engineers, and I know Generac have engineers that design their generators. So why would we go through the expense of having someone else design something, as opposed to taking a look at what they're proposing, have your electrical engineer say, okay, these either fit or don't fit. Why do that? I don't see any reason to do that.
One, so that we can look at your system and say, hey, this is what we recommend, here's why we recommend it, and then you can have a vendor, a salesman, quote it for you, because right now you're going to salesman, and asking for a quote, but not giving them any specifications or direction of what you want or what needs
but,
to happen.
But what we did was, and this is what they do every day, they come in and they evaluate what we have and we tell them exactly what we want, and they come up with a design and they say, if we say, and one of the things was we told them that this building, we want it to function 100%, just like it does today. So they came in and they come up, okay, this is, we have our engineer, we got all the specifications, and this is what we came up with. So if they come up with that and have your engineer take a look at it, and he said that will fit, we cut through the other, we're
Your discretion. Whatever will help you in whatever way you ask.
Yeah. I'm not saying we eliminate you, but I'm just trying to save some money here and still accomplish the same thing. Any other thoughts?
We can get the job done for less money. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I like your approach.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, this is at no cost to us, right? They're going to look at what we want, and they're going to throw us what they think we need, right?
They come in, they base it on our needs. It's a quote.
Yeah.
Quote, so it's no cost to us.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go to that step, and after that, we'll throw it over to the Landvale, look it over, or whoever does over there, just to make sure.
Well, they got an electrical engineer over there.
Great.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody?
On that?
Oh, there's Mr. Corey. All right, we can talk about the club. What would we like to talk about?
Well,
I'm good.
Before you walked in the room, I had some bad things to say. No, I'm only kidding. I wanted you to hear that I've been reading that thing line by line, word by word, and you've done a terrific job, and I wanted the public to know that, you know, you and your committee, and it's just been a pleasure, you know, working out the details with you guys. So, and it's what I like about the club, I think everybody's going to appreciate it. It's a really good guideline for, you know, setting a course and a direction for the future of the town. And, you know, it's all folks consider this. It's a big picture approach, and that's what a comprehensive land use plan is. So I'm very pleased with the product.
Thank you for your time and effort.
A couple of issues that came up. I got an email from a citizen, and I responded to it, but one of the things was they were talking about the road. Well, we had nothing to do with the road. That's a county function. That's through the that's county road, so that's through the county legislature. So whether they put a driveway in on Henkel Boulevard or not, that's not a town issue, and we didn't have anything to do with it. You know, the landowner went to the county, and the legislature allowed him to do that. That was one of the things. The other thing was that there's a warehouse going to go in there. The warehouse isn't going to go in there. They already pulled the project, correct?
Certainly on hold if it hasn't been pulled.
They still have active speedies permits and an approved site. So they.
No, I know it's an approved site, but I don't think they're moving forward with the warehouse. At least the owner, I've had discussions with the owner, and he told me that he wasn't. So I don't know. And if they do anything other than a warehouse, they have to go through the whole process once again. That's something I think people should know.
You know, I'd like to say something about that, because level of concern about that warehouse. Everybody's entitled to be concerned about anything, but you know, personally, I think everybody knows that I'm all about green space and all about protecting the integrity and character of this community. And whether I like the warehouse or not is immaterial. The warehouse project followed the rules. The zoning is on the books. No special deals or backroom decisions were made about it. You know, whether you're happy about that or not, that's what's on the books in the town of Lysander. And we're no different than, in fact, what did you tell us, Jack? We actually have a smaller site development framework.
We have some of the lowest if not the lowest, acreage coverage on our industrial site.
And I mean,
Radisson is 80%.
80%. And this was what, 50, I think this was, or 40, with 35? I don't even know.
We're at 50.
50. But the point here is those things were, those laws and those ordinances and those codes, they're on the books. I mean, there's nothing, we didn't make them up and like, oh, shake your hand in the back room and you can build your warehouse, you know, whether you like it or not. And I had to accept that. And it was just part of what it was. And if you don't want warehouses, then the public has to convince the town board, you know what, get rid of all of your industrial zoning. or you know, you can't just say, well, this warehouse is good but or bad and this project is not. If they both follow the same sets of standards and rules, you can't be arbitrary about that.
No, that's correct. And what made that process, that project challenging, I'll use that word, was that there was such a visceral reaction to it by certain members of the community that it required the planning board, their engineer, and our attorney especially. We went through that thing line by line, step by step, because we knew we were going to get sued if we didn't do it right. They tried to stop it. And we have an outstanding attorney. When we turned all the material over to their lawyers, they basically told them, you haven't got a leg to stand on. So as long as you follow those rules you're talking about, and the planning board, I mean, the town sets the rules, the planning board has to follow them. Otherwise, you don't need a planning board.
Yep.
The town could just do what they want to do.
But 98% of those things, we don't have any impact on at all. And it's day-to-day business.
Yep.
They were established well before us. That area specifically, how long has that been up there? 60, 70, 80 years?
Many decades, I know.
Yeah. I think the 1960s it was established.
And just because you have industrial zoning, and just because you might, as we're recommending, not in the club, but elsewhere, law changes, that you increase your acreage coverage, just because that's on the books doesn't mean anything's going to come there.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is if the right opportunity comes along that makes sense to the town, it is available. And in these days with Micron, other communities are scrambling like heck to change their laws.
So when you brought up Micron, one thing I'm really concerned about is not Micron, it's about this aquarium. Where are these people going to stay? You know, we need hotel district, right? So where are these people going to stay if they need that much volume to go to visit the aquarium? You know that's coming. Micron, not so much. That's a 20-year build-out. You know, that's all yours, Micron, but to me, look at their financial statements, they'll tell you.
Well, there's a lot of room down in that Inner Harbor, a lot of room. So they're already talking about putting a hotel in Destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been on the books for a while.
Yeah, that was, what, phase two of Destiny was supposed to be?
Yeah.
Well, now it makes sense, probably.
Yeah.
I would like to say on the record and to the town board, I want to thank all the members of the town board that worked with us through this process. The feedback was welcome and appreciated, if not always accepted. But you have the final say. But I also want to let the town board know that we had an outstanding committee. And everyone on that committee worked hard. But there are two people I want to particularly mention, and that's Karen Rice and Al Yeager. Now, while they were not formal members of the committee, without the work they put in, it would have been a lot longer and a lot more difficult process. So I just want you to be aware of that.
And when we're talking during the public hearing, bring that up again so it'll be on camera.
Okay.
I did have one question about the property on Hinkle Boulevard. You had said that they have an active speedies permit and they had an accepted site plan, but but that site plan didn't include access to Hinkle Boulevard.
Didn't include what?
Didn't include the driveway to Hinkle Boulevard, I think.
That's correct.
So if they can't build anything with access to Hinkle Boulevard without going back through the planning board.
That's good, a site plan amendment.
Right.
That's correct. They're aware of that.
They're aware, okay. Because I know in attending planning board meetings, there was sort of a back and forth between their attorneys and our attorney for the planning board, and I didn't know where that ended up.
No, we could not control that process. That was a county process. What we did, we sent a letter to them and notified them that if they are granted the curb cut, because that's not on the approved site plan, that nothing can occur on that site until they come back for a site plan amendment.
Right, if they choose to use that
new
curb cut. Oh, no, in general, they can't do it, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they extend that road into the property beyond what they've got to come back.
Okay, very good. I think that should be, I think that'll put a lot of people at ease also with, you know, stating that. But no, great work on the club. The only thing I would say with our website problems in the last day, I mean, maybe we shouldn't adopt it because people might have had a hard time seeing our agenda. But I mean, all in all, I'm okay with the club. It's a living document. It can be opened back up at any point in time and looked at and modified. This isn't a see you again in 5 years point. This is something we can decide to address or not address at any point in time. But I think the adjustments we've made are fairly good, and, you know, taken into account. You're not going to please everybody, but I think it's done a great job of a path forward. Thank you.
Anything else regarding that? Okay, Mr. Rode, you wanted to talk about Melvin Farm.
Yeah, we all got the revised map. I didn't see any additional incentives or anything else with it, so I'm assuming the developer has just decided to, I mean, from what I've seen, sort of swap the townhomes with the apartments on the property. So after the public hearings, I'm just wondering where the board stands. Should we open the public hearing back up? Is this the developer's last offer, or should we discuss this as a board and maybe send the developer, you know, more things to try to change or address?
We've already done that. Planning board already did that. There's at least what, six, Jack? I think we
well, sent. There's four major ones and two small ones.
Yeah.
Were raised by the planning board when they made their recommendations back to you.
And they were sent.
I'm assuming the town has passed that on to Mario and them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are aware of the issues. Of the four major ones, the movement of those apartments to the south end of the property, that addressed one of them. But the three major ones have not been addressed.
Is the developer, as he said, he's going to address them or not address them? Or?
Well, he would, at this point, he would be coming to the town board because the application is before the town board.
Correct.
At the point.
Right.
And they know what the, and I've had conversations with the attorney, and I had told them that until they address all of those issues, it wouldn't even be considered. So they have to address all of those before we would consider anything, and they haven't.
So this is just like the first part of their process.
I don't. Okay. They just sent it out as information, and that's it. But there's five other. There's like Jack said. There's three other main issues that have to be addressed before we would even can look at it again, and they know that. So they must be working on it, probably figuring up the money. Figuring out how much it's going to cost, you know, if they can do it, if it's financially feasible, I don't know. They haven't shared that with me, but they know that in order to even come back to us, those issues have to be addressed, and they haven't.
Okay. No, that was fine. I just, you know, at the last meeting, Al had said that the email had gone out. That's all we got was the map. I didn't know if this was the final offer or where it was. So that's all I wanted to know. So we're still in limbo. Very good. Thank you. That was it.
Okay. That's all I got.
Well, I was wondering, should we talk about this memorandum we got from our town clerk about what happened with our website? I can't believe they shut off. Shut down our website. Are you kidding?
If you don't pay, that's what happens.
that's how
try
it
not
works.
Paying your electricity bill for
month
or two.
I hear you loud and clear. And if I didn't pay my bill, I'd expect my electricity to get shut. Whatever, but. We're the town of Lysander. Could they have not called up? And is there
it's
any
not
recourse?
A .gov domain. It's an org. There's a difference.
Okay.
Dina explain. She's the one that worked hard on it, but the emails went unanswered.
Lunch today. I was about
Yeah. I mean, no. I hope you understand. This is no criticism to you or anybody.
No,
but like, how dare they send an email out and they don't get a response to someone that doesn't work here? And it's like, are you kidding?
Right.
There's so many, there's millions of domains out there. They're not going to track everyone
online.
Down.
It's they either do it by chat or they do it by email. So after, I was going to read the statement actually during the board meeting so we have it on the record.
Good.
But just to give you a little brief history on what happened, did a little digging and I called the domain company. I called our website people first and they were like,
hey, I'm in a meeting. I can't call. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
They're shutting his water up.
Yeah.
That's what happens. You miss one call.
Basically, they said, well, it looks like it hasn't been paid, and I'm like, well, okay, fine. So I called the company, and the credit card that they had was from the previous administration, and that was what they were charging. It was a 5-year domain renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And they had whoever was working on the domain 5 years ago with me, obviously. And so I just had to sort of re-sign up with the domain people and give them all of our information. I gave them my personal email, and I gave them my town email just in case this happens again. And I renewed it for 10 years. So the next town clerk in 10 years will be the one who will be hopefully renewing.
Right.
So we're lucky that
credit card. Yeah. I ran down to Nancy and I grabbed the town credit card and I made the decision to just be like, yeah, put it on there. So it's $1,400 total for 10 years.
We're lucky that
late fee of $35.
We're lucky that no one bought it from us.
In the time.
And then
somebody could have bought it. Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Someone could have registered and bought it. Well, it was up. No one paid for it.
Then we'd have to buy it.
We would have to buy it back.
And what
there's
they
people that do that all the time.
It was a grace period of 2 weeks. So what happened was this happened 2 weeks ago, which was the 21st, which was our other board meeting. And
so that was probably some of the issues on that website
yeah.
day.
That makes sense.
So in 10 years, it would go to the
town
of Lysander clerk.
Town clerk.
So no matter who's in that position.
Always have that email.
Yeah. See, that's what, when whoever did that originally should have put it to one that it would have definitely gone to.
Or even supervisor.
Supervisor, controller, whoever.
Those emails will always be open. Any emails that people aren't here anymore, some of those are just gone. And they're not saved in the cloud. But all of our emails are going to be saved.
Town clerk will be there no matter
what.
Okay.
Now, do we have like a historical document if that ever gets lost? Like, say we change domain names and then our emails move.
I have a file.
Okay. So, no, this is the website,
yeah.
people. So, if you change it, you got to let them know. Runs out. Okay.
Yeah. It's just another thing. I'm thinking these are just like the things that come up that you don't even think of.
Right.
And I guess it makes sense because every time there's a new supervisor, there's a new credit card. Because that card goes in the supermarket.
Right.
So the last one Joe had, this one you have, and so I just put it on my credit card. And then I went on to J. Crew and bought a bunch of clothes, like the and work clothes, yeah.
And not to belabor the issue, but the company that we hire to oversee, that's not who we're talking
about.
No,
it's separate.
And they couldn't be clued into this?
They don't manage it. So it's
ours. They manage our website, but not the domain.
Okay.
Because we own the domain.
Right. Okay. Great. Well, I'm glad you got it turned back on.
Yeah, me too.
So we're good for 10 years?
Right.
10 years.
Okay.
Set an alarm.
You want to have your phone back then. For a pop-up in 10 years.
So maybe 9.5 years to start looking at it. Yeah, back to the September 21st date, right?
I panicked, though. I was like, because I thought this is such a huge thing, you know? Like I said, I missed my town
clerk's luncheon. Okay, great. Got a little bit of time, so you got the letter, your recommendation to buy the loader.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think everybody here is in agreement with that. The only thing we have to do, and it's part of the comptroller's budget modifications, is, and I gave you, Dina, I gave you a copy of that. I don't think you had it. There was, okay. And I put some down there as well. So what we have to do, you know, because we have that truck on order and we're swapping things, we have to take $100,000. The only thing we have to do is take $100,000 and take it out of the current machinery equipment budget. So his line will go from 280, which covered the truck. It'll go down to 180. That $100 will revert back into the highway fund so that we can purchase the, and that's already in the budget, so we can purchase the truck next year. It's the only thing we have to do.
Okay.
We don't have, and then you can move forward with the, did everybody see the letter? I was good with it.
Yes.
Are we doing a
No, you don't need to do a resolution. All we're doing,
because we've already
purchased. Well, it's in his equipment line. The only thing we have to do is to do a budget modification, which is part of the thing. Once we do that budget modification, his so when you're talking to him, he goes from 280 down to 180. He has to understand that. That'll cover the bucket or whatever it is, payloader, and then he'll have probably another, I think, what was that, about 146 or something like that?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so he'll have
remember, it was 173, the final quote on the payloader.
Okay, so he'll have enough.
Yeah.
173,
yeah, right.
So he'll be done for this year.
Yeah.
You do the payloader, and then that 100,000 will go in to the budget pay for the budget was increased by $100,000 to pay for the truck that'll be coming in next year.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions with that? Okay. So that's what that is. Any other questions while we're talking about it, about any other budget modifications? Did you talk to Kevin about the quotes?
You got quotes. There was a quote to pave or to seal, right? I was going to, Al, I need your expertise on the troopers' barracks. Is that end of life, that driveway, or is it okay to seal?
I mean, it's we built that building in 2003, I believe. It has not been paved since 2003. It's exceeded its expected service life of 15 years for a military. I don't know if you're going to get any bang for your buck out of sealing this year. Something we should probably be looking at for a mill and overlay. Not next year, the year after.
Part of cave it's not in bad shape, and all the vendors actually put it sealing it was sufficient.
Well, you're dealing with people trying to sell you service, right? What their job is.
Yeah, we were asking them to seal it.
Right.
And they came in and said, you know, you're asking me to seal this, but I think it ought to be paved.
No one's going to tell you that.
Change it, sure they would.
That you
are
asked.
Are they sealing companies or paving companies?
They do both.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking, because the sealer won't bother to worry
they
about
they do
paving.
Both, where they actually do the hard paving and stuff, like Ken's paving, because Ken's paving doesn't seal driveways.
I spoke with Hall felt that it was
So do you need a authorization from us to go forward with this to seal it, or what's our next step?
It was just the budget modification.
Okay.
The money was in buildings, but in order to just accounting-wise track what is being spent on that building, that's why it's we're moving the money from buildings to the trooper barracks, so that we can, so that accounting-wise, it can be tracked as part of what is spent on that building, on that property.
And the reason the comptroller says that contract is coming to its end, and what she wants to do is get a good handle on what we're spending money in. If it was just in buildings, we wouldn't be able to track that specifically as easily. This way we can track it to determine, because there's going to have to be an increase mm-hmm. for the troopers when they come in. So this will be give us a better idea on what type of increase we need to have when we negotiate with them.
So we already did the work is what we're saying. So you need approval then from us. Well, we're approving
the budget modification
that would then approve
the spending
of the money.
You're approving that movement of money from one account to another.
Right.
I mean, so if we're not thinking of paving it this year, should we seal it to get a year and a half out of it?
I would absolutely seal this thing. I mean, I've been in too many situations where the recommendation is tear up the road and rebuild it. You know, that happened with the drive into Reeves Field off of Canton Street. That road in that parking lot was in fine condition, and yet we were told we need to spend $50,000 to redo that road.
It's still there 5 years later.
I ran on the busiest parking lot outside of shopping centers is the parking lot in front of the Salt Museum in Onondaga Lake Park. We sealed that every year, got 50 years out of it. You know, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to tear it up and do it, but you know, money is money. And if we can, and troopers go in and out, and nobody else goes in and out of that building. It's not like it's a high-speed roadway and parking lot.
Right.
You know what? And if there's not huge potholes, and every time I think like this, I have to take one drive downtown, and every 15 seconds I'm going in a big pothole. Okay, so we're doing fine. Thanks, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
I mean, I'm fine with sealing it, and see where we are in a year or two down the road.
Where the lease is up, yep. Negotiate it that way.
That's got to be.
Throw the increase in. In the new lease, mm-hmm. whatever the cost is going to be.
Well, that was what the comptrollers and the supervisor's plan was, knowing that contract is coming up, and knowing that the current rent doesn't cover all of the expenses around the building, and that's why she wanted to start the charging to the trooper barracks accounts anything that, other than utilities, the only thing that had been charged to that account was utilities. But I mean, this year alone, we've had HVAC contractor over there a few times with the AC, and we've had plumbing issues over there. So there's other things.
The stairs, good.
The stairs are coming up, but there's other things that go on with that building and that property that haven't been, that the expenses haven't been tracked. That trooper barracks account has just been all put into the building's expense account, so the comptroller doesn't get a true sense, or mm-hmm. hasn't been in the past, getting a true sense of what it costs to run that, to maintain that property for the troopers.
Well, I mean, it's our building, so it's in our building expenses. It's not, I've never read through the exact agreement or know the end date of the contract, but I believe they were only to pay, utilities? There's very little. Do you know, Al, what's in the contract of what they pay?
They give us rent. We pay it all, what they're paying doesn't even cover the utilities now.
As far as public utilities.
Yeah. They don't pay for the plowing. They don't pay for the upkeep on the building. Right. They don't pay for any of that.
They're paying for their heat and water.
They provide their own phone and internet services over there, and then whatever else.
But
I'm glad their comptroller is keeping an eye on how much we're really spending, because I don't like a net loss.
Well, there is a loss.
But that's why she said
if it's buried in the building account, I mean, we could do it out of the building account. That's not a problem. But she said to be more accurate on where we're spending our money, she thought it was more appropriate just instead of just having the utilities in there to put all the expenses.
Right.
And that's
exactly
all we're doing, to move it so that it shows where it goes, so that she'll be able to go through and give us a more accurate account.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Perfect. Okay.
I'd rather know.
Now, the last thing, we got three bids for the snow plowing. They were sent out to 2, 4, 6, 7, right? Seven people?
Seven.
And then we got three in. One of the people that sent it in is a relative of mine, so I'm going to abstain from any discussion or vote on that issue.
So, quickly looking over that bid, they want to throw in an extra $100 per salt. Who controls when they salt? Because that could add up. That could increase this number by tenfolds. You know, they salt it, they go plow 52 times, or they drive by, salt it 50 times, that's an extra $5,000 right there.
I don't know what the RFP was sent out, but we have always specified in the RFP previously that salt was included, the price of salt was included in the contract.
Yeah, this is an extra $100.
Yeah, so if that's the case, and the troopers expect it to be salted every time it's pumped.
I mean, do they have a zero tolerance?
Reject their bid or request that they include salt as required by the RFP, and if they're not willing to honor the price, then you've got to go to the next step.
Then I would go to Mosher Landscaping, just on that principle.
Do the troopers require us at a zero tolerance anytime it snows, or
do they?
Two inches.
Yeah, okay. 2 inches is what the contract is.
They all got all-wheel drive cars. There isn't a car in there.
The bounds over there are two-wheel drive?
No.
Watch one get stuck out front.
Maybe one of the old ones, but all the new ones they're buying, they're all-wheel drive.
I remember one.
Could have been. I mean, they got, don't get me wrong. Well, some of the investigators' cars could be two-wheel or front-wheel, but all the new ones they're buying, I don't think there's even two-wheel drive ones on the state bid that they purchased. So, but they still may have some two-wheel drive vehicles in their fleet.
I know years ago got stuck out here. It was a two-wheel drive Tahoe.
Yeah.
But that was
during
Joe's time as town supervisor.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they're not replacing those things. But they got some old ones.
I could call him now and just tell him we can't do that. He has to include it. It's got to be included in his bid.
I'm not included in this discussion.
No, but I'm not looking at you. So I could call him right now. And
if that's what you put out and they didn't read it, shame on them. That's how I am.
It's got to be $1,000.
Salting at $100 a time. Do you think you're going to get salted 25 times? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But if...
Well, I mean, because we can table it and wait 2 weeks to accept it if you want, or I can call him right now and just be like, it's got
to
be...
How did you send it out? Did you say that salt's to be included?
It is. It's in there. It's
then if they didn't...
Changes.
Yeah, then... Yeah. I personally feel if they didn't go the extra mile to read it and understand it and give us the proper bid, then they're out.
I agree with Jeff.
Move with the second next person, Mosher Landscaping.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sorry, who did it last year?
Yeah.
Mosher's.
At 10?
It was 90.
Gas is up a little.
They went up.
I know.
It was like 9,800.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with them. Mosher Landscaping.
Me too.
I am too.
Yeah, that says all labor and materials necessary.
Yeah.
Right, it's all in it. Just like it should
be. So do you want to change that to Mosher's for
10,560?
Yep.
I'm fine with that.
There's,
why not?
Why not what?
Why can't you have public input?
Mosher's?
On a bid?
No, on the discussion, not the bid.
On a discussion about what?
On the discussion about the bid.
What's to discuss? It's what it is.
Well, because you're throwing our money around and it's stupid. You're wasting it, in my opinion, and I can guarantee in other people's opinion. And I just
That's what the public comments are about.
Okay, then I'll wait till the meeting. I didn't know you wanted me to project it to the people at home. I'd rather do it
property now, so it wasn't so embarrassing.
Well, someone else has to address it. I'm not involved in the discussion on that.
Okay. Is anybody
well,
else
here, on the board? All I'll say is this. You can get up and talk to public comment because we're probably going to vote on it. But it's almost the middle of October. They did it last year, and the increase is about $700 over.
I understand.
If they wait, I'm talking. So I'll let you talk, but I'm just telling you that it's a $750 increase. We go to bid this back out. We don't know what we're going to get. If they'll even bid again, because maybe their contracts fill up once we pass on them now. The contract stated that salting's included. They didn't fulfill that part of the bid. They didn't read it, whatever reason, but if we did the math 26 times, they're more expensive than that. Are we going to probably salt the Troopers Barracks 26 times this year? I would guess so. Second part of that is it's a local company. They're going to know what it's snowing here. So that's the other part of that. But you can feel free to interject. I'll give you your time.
Now, or you want me to wait?
No, go ahead. You can say it again with the camera.
Well, without trying to sound rude at all, just like matter of fact, I can guarantee that with the exception of maybe Cedric and Joe, I've plowed more miles in reverse than this entire room added together going forward. I've done it for 35 years, and it upsets me. I'd rather say pisses me off, but it upsets me that people who don't have command of a subject are making important decisions on a subject. In regards to snow plowing, it's not professional to put a blanket policy on something. What I'm trying to say is there are numerous times when you might salt without ever plowing. If you do it right, there's numerous times where you can plow and you don't have to salt. It doesn't have to be an every single time. What it should be is what the situation calls for, and that depends on the timing of the snowfall and the type of snow. Whether you get a flaky lake effect snow, whether you get a wet nor'eastern snow, and also what the temperature is. You could have a situation where you throw salt on there, it's going to have absolutely no effect at all because of the temperature. And so if you're a professional about it, you would write the contract so that it gets serviced for what is needed. Now, who would make the call on that? You would have to have a discussion with somebody from the town and somebody with the police department. Maybe if they have an attendant there, they could make the call that, hey, we need salt and we don't need plowing.
We shouldn't leave it up to them. Like when people plow their driveways,
or maybe
you know.
Somebody for
here's the thing too, Fred, it's why leave it open, right?
Another thing is unless you have to have this contract tonight, our clerk was willing to call the people that had the lowest bid and say, hey, the board had an issue with this. If they're able to come in at 85, let's just say, I don't want to speak for Flat Rock. If they're able to come in at 8,500 or 9,000 with an altered bid, and that's still $500 or $1,000 less, Flat Rock is on Plainville Road. I see them every day. They go past my house 65 miles an hour in the 30. They're only a couple miles away from Motor. All I'd say is it's worth it to allow her to do her job. Reach out to them.
Why not reach out to the other two, too, and let them know that Flat... That's not how the bidding process works,
though.
That's
not the bid process. We'd have to redo the whole bid.
She did say that's not how the bidding has worked with us. We haven't done it $100 per separate time. We've always had that included in the bid.
Fred, we can't, though, because that's not the bidding process. We'd have to send all the bids back out again. Because everybody knows what everybody else bid. That's the issue.
Not only that, Fred, you would be the first person to say, oh, they didn't like my bid, so now they're going to put it back out again. You'd be the first person.
First
to call
of all,
the board.
First of all,
no,
Pete,
I'm not done.
Every
you'd
municipality
call,
or
excuse
business
me, Fred,
that
Fred,
is a legitimate
I did
place
not interrupt you, Fred.
Has a bid
hold
by
it.
Early September.
Hold on, Pete. Fred.
You dropped the ball again.
Fred. You got to be in order. It has to be a conversation. It has to be a two-way conversation. Hold on.
I understand what you're saying.
All right, so all I'm saying is, when Mr. Moore's speaking, let him finish. You hold on, and then you have your chance to go through. It doesn't, first of all, the town clerk has to do the minutes on here, and when more than one person is doing, they can't pick it up. So let Mr. Moore finish, and then you can finish your comments.
We went through the quote process. We got three quotes. One company didn't follow the process properly, so we can't take that quote. Secondly, as I said, if we did this another time, you would be the first person to stand up and say, oh, they don't like this quote, so they're going to give somebody a second chance. You'd be the first person to call the board under the carpet for not following protocol. So you know what? We're following protocol. That's what we're doing.
I would be the first person to stand up and say, thank you for saving the taxpayers' money. Second of all, you drop the ball because you wait. Every single business in municipalities locks somebody up in the beginning of September. You guys wait every year until October. So all you get are these high bidders. If you put it out in the beginning of September, when everybody else does it,
September,
or maybe even August, you might have more people contributing to the bid, and you can get a much lower bid. I don't know if that's true or not. I've seen businesses, the companies I work for, that's how they do it. They don't wait to mid-October to get somebody. Last year, we were stuck with one company and their bid because you waited, and it cost us.
You know what? That's a good suggestion.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And next year, we will do that. We'll do it in July.
I sent it out September 6th.
Yeah, so we'll do it in. That's not a bad suggestion. In fact, I think it's a good suggestion. So we will send it out early.
There's a lot of businesses that are having difficulty finding somebody to do something now because everybody's been locked up. That's what happens when you wait. I'm not trying to be rude.
Good.
Okay. What we're doing is we're following the law. We can't do it any other way.
I understand that. I'm just thinking for Bob's suggestion, following my suggestion, if you get out there earlier, you have an opportunity to discuss this with the people before it's at the last second that we need.
We understand.
We agreed with you. We agreed with you and said that's a good suggestion. Next year we will follow up on that. And if we don't, you can call us out, but I can guarantee you we will send those out in plenty of time.
Bob, in 2012, I put in a bid for this town, for that police station, for $3,600 a year, and I was not accepted because somebody was slightly lower than me. I was the mid-bid, somebody was lower than me. So in 12 years, we've gone from $3,000 up to $10,000. That is not good financial stewardship of what's going on. If you look at what businesses have paid over the last 8-10 years, it's not triple the price, I can promise you that. Residential homes, Kramer is not charging you $1,000 a season. He's still charging $350 to $400 a season.
They don't have to pay, prevailing wage. They don't have to pay workers' compensation. They don't have to have all the liability insurances that are required by municipalities in order for us to give that contract out. That's why they're doing that.
Bob, it's the same commercial liability insurance that you would have if you're a legitimate business. We're doing residentials.
But they don't have to pay. They don't have to pay prevailing wage.
I don't know town law. I don't sit on a board. I don't want to sit on a board. But if I did, I would read every document I could so that I could be abreast of it. When I asked you a few months ago or a year ago, do you treat this town like it's a household? The town's money, like it would be the average person's, not your money, but the average person's money. And you told me yes. And that's all I'm looking for, is are we doing the best job we could? I think if we get out a little bit earlier in front of it, we should have 10, 12 people submitting bids, honestly.
And
yes, it was a great suggestion.
Thank you.
So I just want to clarify the motion then. So it's going to say to accept the bid from Moser's Landscaping for plumbing consulting of the Troopers Barracks in the town of Lysander at a cost of $10,560 per the contract.
Yes.
Can you give that to me? And we'll trade. Is that the front of the sheet, or?
I'll trade with you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll call the work session adjourned. Here, I'm going to shut this off.